FaceTime, an encounter, a personal encounter. And this morning we will encounter Peter as he encountered Jesus. My name is Paul Clark. I've been part of CTK for about 3 years. Karen and I were brought here to Charlotte for other things, job and other things, but God brought us here and placed us here as part of the CTK family. And it is a privilege to be able to open God's word with you this morning. I want to do the beginning of this message in first person with Peter. So I'd ask you to enter into the scene as Peter encounters Jesus. I had declared Jesus the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I denied him to a young woman at the gate of Caiaphas' house. I had declared my loyalty to Jesus before all the other disciples. Even if they had doubts, I didn't. And I denied him to a guard as we stood by a fire. I had said to Jesus, I love you more than these. Even if they fall away, I won't. And that night, I swore that I didn't even know him. And as I said that, the rooster crowed. I stood there. Agony filled my soul as I realized what I had done. And as I looked up, they were bringing Jesus out of Caiaphas' house, and our eyes met. Shame filled my soul as I realized he knows what I've done. Well, of course he knows. He had told me I would do this. And yet I did it anyway. Oh, I went away to hide. What else could I do? There, we gathered together and we saw Jesus being crucified on the cross on Golgotha. We looked and I saw the evidence as he was there of him dying. As he died, the earth under my feet shook, but inside I was trembling with shame. And I went away. A couple of days later, Mary Magdalene came to where we had been hiding, and she told us that the body had been stolen. She told us that the tomb was empty. And John and I ran. He was always faster than me. He got there first and he was looking in. And I came and I just ran right in. And there it was. No body. It was just the grave clothes, the spices, and that head cloth was all folded up, set apart. The evidence. Stolen? No. 2 + 2 = 4, right? Well, I put all the pieces together. Stolen? No. Risen. But what did it mean to me? What would be the importance of this for me? Later that day, we saw Jesus. We were scared. We gathered together, hiding in a room, and he just appeared. A ghost? But once again, he talked to us, and then he took fish and he ate that fish. More evidence. A ghost? No. Risen. What did this mean? Could it be? He's risen. They're going to hunt us down? Or he's risen. And it's true.
He's the Messiah. He really is the Christ. Later on, the women came and they had seen Jesus themselves, and they said to us, "He's going on to Galilee, so go ahead up to Galilee." And I thought, Galilee, oh, that's going back home. Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, that lake that's just so full of fish. Ah, and we'll meet Jesus there. We had such good times in Galilee. Get away from this city. So off I went. And the others went with me. And we came along the way, and we arrived there. And as we were walking along the shore, we found one of our old fishing boats. "Hey, guys, I'm going fishing. You know, we used to be pretty good at this. You coming along?" There were 7 of us total, and we headed out to fish that night. And so there we were, and we gathered the net and off to one side and pulled it in. No fish. To the left side, no fish. To the right, no fish. All night long, no fish. We were fishing, and all of a sudden we saw a fire appear on the shore, just a little fire, and then it got a little bigger, and we heard a voice. "Young man, have you got any fish?" "Nope." And under my breath, I was muttering, "The fish aren't here tonight." Voice came across the water again. "So throw the net on the right side of the boat." We tossed it on the left, on the right, all night long. "Okay. One more cast, and we'll call it a night." As I pulled on the net, it was different. I was feeling, there's fish. "Hey guys, we got fish in the net. Hold it, I can't pull it in. I need your help." And together we began to pull on that. And as we were pulling, I felt a jab in my side. John jabbed me real hard and he said, "Peter, it's Jesus, the Christ." "Jesus? I came here to see Jesus. I have got to see Jesus. Forget these fish." And I grabbed my coat and dove in the water and swam and waded to shore because I had to meet Jesus. I arrived there. Jesus was beside a fire, and there were fish and bread on the fire. It was smelling so good, and there I was, dripping wet. But I came to Jesus, and he embraced me and brought me in, and I began to warm myself by the fire, forgotten all about the fish. The others, I left them to bring the fish to shore, and they pulled the net up, and Jesus said to me, "Hey, Peter, go get some of those fish. We're going to eat well this morning." So I went to the fish. I went over to the net and I began to, wow, these are beautiful. These are good-sized fish. Wow. 151, 152, 153. Fish. I only remember one other time like this. Wow. I brought some fish back and Jesus put them on the fire. We sat down and he served us, as was his way of doing. He served us. He took the fish and the loaves. And again, what a memory of fish and loaves beside the Sea of Galilee. That night changed everything. As we were sitting there eating, Jesus turns to me and he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Feed my lambs," was his simple response. Wow. Conversation sparked again, and after a few minutes, Jesus turned to me again and said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Tend to my sheep." There was quiet around that fire. And Jesus broke the silence and turned to me once again and said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" I was crushed 3 times. Oh no, my shame is exposed to my friends. Here I am. He's going to make me feel bad. Jesus, you know everything. You know me because we have had a relationship. You know, you have known me for a long time. You know me intimately. You know me. You know everything. Yes. You know that I love you. His simple response was, "Feed my lambs." He went on to say something about them stretching out my arms, and then he turned to me and he said, "Follow me." He stood up and started to walk. I stood up and followed, because I wanted to be with him again. Began to make sense to me. As I began to follow him in a new way, following Jesus and caring for his flock, that's what he meant. A spiritual defeat is not the end of the story. I had encountered defeat. I had encountered brokenness and shame and despair. But Jesus made that story end differently. Spiritual defeat is not the end, because Jesus has the last word. He says, "Come, be with me, follow me." What Jesus wanted me to know was that I couldn't, but he could. I couldn't complete anything, but he had already completed it. I couldn't keep my word, but he kept his and died and rose again. I couldn't deserve his calling, but he called me anyway. I couldn't reverse my past, but he had already forgiven it and reversed it. I couldn't, but he could and did. I couldn't because I was weak and broken. He could because he was powerful and complete. I couldn't because I was wrapped up in myself. But he could because he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for you and for me and for many more. I couldn't, but he could, and he did. Peter
in a FaceTime with Jesus. We encountered him there, face to face, with the one that he felt so much shame. And his story ended differently. You see, Jesus is all about turning spiritual defeat into a different story. Spiritual defeat is not the end. So let's examine this FaceTime in John 21. You'll find that in your notes. You'll find it in the Bible tab alongside if you're online with us. Open your Bible and let's look at John 21, verses 15 through 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" You see, Peter had been called to follow Jesus, but had stumbled. Interestingly, when Jesus uses this phrase, "Simon, son of John," he goes back to John chapter 1. The last time that we find Peter referred to as Simon, son of John, was just before Jesus called him to follow him and be a disciple. Jesus using this name for Simon Peter, calling him Simon, son of John, would have taken Peter back to remember his calling. To realize, I have been called to be with Christ, but I have stumbled. I have made this all about what I can do for Christ, and Jesus was asking me to come and to be with him. It was about a relationship, not what we do. It was about relationship, not achievement. It was about relationship. And so, as Jesus called him, there was a time that they were together on a mountain. Jesus asked them, "Who do the people say that I am?" And Peter was very proud to say, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And it was on that day that Jesus expanded some understanding of what that calling was to be. That Peter was to be one who would preach the gospel. And Peter began to get in his mind that this calling was also about the doing, more than the being. Sometimes we get that backwards too. You see, as Jesus called his disciples, he said, "Come be with me. And as you are with me, learn from me and let this life together reshape who you are." And then growing out of what you are, who you are in me and in this relationship with me, you can serve others. Do you love me more than me? First of all, do you love me is a relationship question. Do you love me more than these? As I was preparing, I spent time thinking about the these. What are they referring to? And at first I thought, Jesus was asking him, "Do you love me more than these fish? More than the fishing? More than who you are as a fisherman? Do you love me more than who you were as a fisherman?" And if you remember, Jesus had called him and said, "I will come follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Jesus was thinking of his calling, and his identity was connected to fishing. Perhaps that was the these. But it also may have been that Jesus was asking him, "Do you love me more than you love these others? Do you love me more than being in a community of friends where you belong, where you are accepted, where you... Do you love me more than you love these?" Very likely the question was, "Do you love me more than these do?" And that would bring Peter back to that night when he said, "I will be loyal to you no matter if they fall away, I will stay with you. I love you more than these do. Whether in our lives we fall away, we stumble for the same reason that Peter did, whether it's a question of our identity or our community, of loving those that we are with more than we love Christ, or whether it's a matter of how close we really want to be in our walk with Christ. Put the comparison aside. Jesus then went on to ask him, do you love me? Jesus took the comparison out. Do you love me? Period. Do you love me? You see, God has made us creatures of desire. And we are like what we love. We become like those things that we love. It's incredible how in our lives, the relationships that become the most significant are those that are built on love. Jesus goes on, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. He asked him a second time, Simon, son of John, once again, that name, do you love me? Peter said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Jesus said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved. That third time, the inner wound of his shame was brought out. The inner wound that he felt, the shame that he carried, the despair that was in his heart, the anxiety about what he had done was there. Three denials. Peter's spiritual defeat. Three questions. Opening the door. You see, very often, shame keeps us in spiritual defeat. We may stumble, but it's when we feel shame that we seek to cover up and hide so that we don't deal with it. Shame keeps us in spiritual defeat. Common response of shame is that we withdraw, we cover up, we hide. We leave behind those that we have been in relationship with. We close down. In Peter's case, he had been one of those disciples who was very proud. And his pride went before his fall. That's what Scripture tells us. Peter's pride had to go through not only a fall, but a process of humiliation for him to reach the point that he would be useful to serve. Just think of it. Pride and servant really don't go together, do they? Jesus had to change Peter for him to be useful. In his fall, he was full of shame. Peter faced his shame in that moment. He had felt it deeply for those days between that Thursday when he denied Christ and that day along the shore of Galilee. Shame and guilt go together. Guilt is what we feel because of wrong that we have done. Shame is what we feel on the inside because of a sense of inferiority, because of a sense of not being worthy. Forgiveness covers the guilt. Shame needs restoration to bring us back into relationship. Shame is a restoring, a rebuilding of self-worth. Because the shame affects our relationships with others, it's necessary to be able to create a bridge where there was a barrier. Shame that is hidden, shame that is covered by ourselves, brings a sense of exposure. While shame that is exposed in a relationship of deep and true love
brings trust, covering, and protection. Peter knew Jesus was the source, was the key to treating his shame. He had experienced forgiveness to cover his guilt, but he needed that restoration. He lived in defeat because he had walked the way of sin, had walked the way of pride. When you and I are caught by sin, when you and I fall to a habit, when you and I break a relationship, you and I also need to receive forgiveness from God and from the other person that we may have offended. But at the same time, when we are in a relationship and we perceive that the other has a sense of shame and is hiding and is withdrawing, you and I also have a responsibility to minister God's grace to that person, to reach out. Jesus taught us in Matthew 5 about what to do when we have offended someone else. He says to go to them and build reconciliation. In Matthew 18, he tells us when the other has offended us, we're to go to them and to seek reconciliation. Now, it's interesting. No matter which side of the problem you are, God gives us as his followers a responsibility to go seek out the other, to be the minister of grace, to build a bridge where there was a barrier, to treat the shame with restoration. So what was Peter's response? As we look at the verse here, Peter said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know everything." Peter followed a path to return to Jesus, knowing that Jesus was the one who knew him. He came back to Jesus. Yeah, that night he was on the lake. He didn't recognize who was on the shore, but as soon as he knew it was Jesus, what did he do? He went. He sought out Jesus. He didn't wait. When he realized that Jesus was on the shore, he responded by returning to Jesus because he knew that he needed to make it right. And in that returning, God opened the door of grace for working in his heart. You see, Peter had had an encounter sometime before this, had had an encounter with Jesus alone. And in that encounter, I believe that Peter received forgiveness for the guilt. But he needed an encounter with the rest of the disciples to bring the restoration and deal with the shame. There's a principle in these encounters with Jesus. Sin needs to be dealt with at the level that it is. Peter's sin was public. It needed to be dealt with the others. Sin that is private should be dealt with privately. Sin that is public needs to be dealt with publicly. He had denied the Lord 3 times. Jesus asked him 3 personal questions. Do you love me? And then gave him a 3-fold commissioning to serve him. The pathway of returning begins by identifying, who do I need to talk to? Peter had identified that he needed to speak to Jesus. As soon as the opportunity was there, he went. But he also had to identify, what do I need to deal with? Yes, there was his pride. Yes, there was his boisterousness. Yes, there was all sorts of things that he needed to deal with in private with Jesus. But this was one that he needed to deal with Jesus and the others. So not only do we need to identify the who, we need to identify what do we need to deal with. What do we need to address? What is the sin? What is the offense? What is the problem? What is the shame? And as we do and encounter that one, just as Peter encountered Jesus on the shore, the shame can yield to the covering of forgiveness and restoration. bringing protection and trust and renewal of a relationship. Remember, shame that is hidden brings a sense of exposure, while shame that is exposed in a relationship of deep and true love brings trust, covering, and protection. When we express God's grace in relationships, spiritual defeat is not the end. God's grace works in us. And it is on that pathway of returning that we find that grace opens the door to leave spiritual defeat behind. So the story continued after that conversation of questions and answers. After saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." And Peter got up and followed him. Three phrases: feed my lambs, care for my sheep, feed my sheep. Jesus then restored him to relationship, and that relationship became the foundation for his serving. Peter began to understand as he received God's grace that he needed to feed others. As he received the grace from God and it removed his shame, he needed to be able to minister to others and see God remove their shame. Embarrassing as it must have been at that time, this tender exchange restored Peter to being a servant of Jesus Christ, a role that he exercised throughout the book of Acts. Throughout the history of the church, thousands have been scattered along the road for good intentions in their service, but they may have traded God's call for going back to fishing. Peter would later write in 1 Peter 4:10, "You have received by grace, give it to others." As you have received God's grace in your life, serve it. He uses a term there that actually talks about distributing it. It's almost as if he says, like they distributed the loaves and the fish, "You've received it by grace. Take the basket of God's grace and serve it to others." Peter used that to speak to us through his letter and to tell us that we need to serve others, whether it's teaching others or reaching others, whether it's hearing another's pain or healing another's pain, whether it's ministering in service to one another or whether it's administering and planning for one another, walking alongside to encourage, or walking in front to lead. You received grace. Serve that grace to one another in the capacity that he gives you to do it. God gives us second chances. I think of a seminary student who showed up to class one night, a little tipsy. I think of a fellow pastor who was dealing with the dishonesty of his teen years and early adult life, and seeing how God removed the shame by way of his grace and restoration. Today, one of them is a missionary in Asia, and the other is planting churches in the city of São Paulo. God works to restore, and as he restores us to relationships so that out of that relationship with him, we can serve. Out of receiving grace from God, we are able to minister grace to others. He gives us second chances so that we can be the giver of second chances to others. The restorer of relationship, to be with him, to follow him, and out of that, to be restored in serving him. Feed my sheep. Care for my flock. Spiritual defeat is not the end. God is the great restorer, making us new and giving us a mission again. You see, once we are restored in relationship, spiritual defeat is not the end of the story. Jesus has the last word. Jesus had a FaceTime with Peter. It was an opportunity to treat Peter's shame as a boisterous disciple who had blown it, a proud teacher, a proud leader who had fallen, a follower who had returned to fishing. It was an opportunity for Peter to experience in a new and a fresh way the grace of God flowing through him, through Jesus Christ. Repentance and forgiveness brought restoration, a renewed calling to serve. For Peter, spiritual defeat was not the end of the story. For you and for me, as you are listening to this FaceTime, you may feel the need that you need to have a FaceTime with Jesus. You may need to come to him and find his grace renewed so that your shame is covered, so that your sense of despair is removed, so that you are back in relationship with Jesus Christ. God wants to give you a second chance, restoration to relationship and to service. You don't have to jump out of a boat and swim to shore, but Jesus is waiting for you nonetheless. You don't need a breakfast after a long night of fishing, but Jesus is waiting to give you his grace, waiting for you to come to him and receive from him. You need to uncover your shame to Jesus so that he can pour in his love and his grace into your heart. Come to him. Allow him to restore you to that relationship that will change your life so that out of that relationship you can serve others. The importance is not the serving. The importance is the relationship. But a relationship leads us to serve. Come to him. Ask him to forgive. Let him restore you so that spiritual defeat is not the end of your story. Let Jesus have the last word. Follow me. Let's pray. Father God, you came here to die on the cross to bring us back to yourself. So, Lord, as we encounter our failures, as we encounter our sin, as we encounter our own problems, we come to you to ask you to pour in your grace, your forgiveness, your renewing, your restoring in our lives. We ask you to do your work in us. Call out to him and ask him to work in your life today so that the end of your story is different. Father, bring us back to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. If God has been touching your heart and you need a time to pray, you can stay where you are, you can come sit down front, or even kneel here. As we're singing in these next moments, if you desire to just pray and seek God for your life, for a restoration, have a FaceTime with Jesus and let him work in your heart. This space is open, and I'll be here available if you would like prayer. But make this available for yourself. Come back to Jesus. Open up your life and let him do his second chance restoring in you.
Love, it is a firm fact. hope you guys can take that to heart this morning. That God is a firm foundation that we can stand on, that we can build our life on. But I know I was listening when Paul was speaking, and I took way too many notes to share with you today. But I'll share with you this. We serve and worship a God of restoration, a God of new life, and of a promise that he's always right by our side, and he's with us no matter what may come. That the world may shake us, it won't defeat us, and that what we are doing always should come out of our relationship with God. I think if we think about leading our life with that our whole life starts with a relationship with God, and then he tells us what we can do, then no matter what we're doing, we'll be doing it out of the love of Christ. Amen? It's really cool. But I do want to take a moment. You guys are welcome to sit down for a sec. Just to talk about offering, we do collect an offering here at CTK, and you can put that in the baskets on the way out. If you're here in person with us today, if you're joining us online, you can give right below the streaming, or you can text to give or mail in a check if that's how you want to roll. But I want to share with you a little bit of ministries that are possible through your giving. And I want to say this because I want to say thank you. And one of those ministries is simply being able to pray at a flagpole. Two Thursdays a month, we get together with the big church, Good Shepherd, and all the churches in the area here in South Charlotte. And we get to go to Lake Wylie Elementary School or Southwest Middle School and join people praying around a flagpole for the staff that is running that school, the teachers, the administration, and the students that are going to be there. Here at CTK, we believe in the power of prayer. So if you guys want to be involved with that ministry, you're always welcome out there. But I want to share with you, because this is a ministry that you support. This is part of CTK that you might not see on a Sunday morning, but these are things that happen each and every day throughout the week. So I want to say thank you. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your generosity in making this possible. A few things to notice that are coming up, maybe you're aware of, maybe you're not. Tomorrow we have a coffee and chat. This is with Pastor Craig and the lead team here. It is not from 6 to 8. If you show up at 8, we will not be here. It is 6 and 7 o'clock, and we'll be rolling out at 8 o'clock. So if you want to come out to that, learn more about CTK, what makes this place unique, how to get involved with it, maybe some of our core beliefs, and if you want to be a part of that, you're more than welcome to attend. We do have a virtual and an in-person experience. So make sure you check that out. And that's really all I have for you. Stay up to date on events. CTKCharlotte.org is the website. There's an events tab. Anything and everything that happens by this church, through this church, or in this community should be there. So keep that in mind. Stand up. Get out of here. Have a great week. Enjoy the day. We look forward to seeing you next week. Thanks.